Have you guys ever felt stuck with a desire? You want something, but somehow it's just not happening. Well, today we are going to talk about how do you go from having a desire to starting the journey to fulfilling that desire. It's a good one. I needed it. So glad we talked about it. So come on in.
Welcome back to Simple Joyful Home, a Come Follow Me podcast with Emily and Alicia. Week after week, they'll draw inspiration from the reading, leaving you with simple and useful tools to strengthen your confidence, your spirit, and your family. Together, you'll transform the study of religion into a real relationship with Christ. Powerful tools and superstar listeners like you means everyone can have a simple, joyful home. Take it away, ladies!
Hi, this is Emily.
This is Alicia.
And welcome to this week's episode. It is going to be Doctrine and Covenants sections 6-9 is the reading. Okay, so here's the first verse that we love and where we pulled most of the inspiration for this episode. And it is section 6, verse 8. And it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, even as you desire of me, so it shall be unto you. And if you desire, you shall be the means of doing much good in this generation." Okay, so what we loved about this verse is the word desire. And I have been thinking about it all week. Why do we need desire? Why is it important in our lives? And how does this really help us, like, in our relationships? And I really wondered, like, why is it so important for Heavenly Father to teach us to have desire? Because I think this word desire has been said multiple times in this reading for different things to different people. And yes, it just really stood out to us. And it's really got me thinking.
If you jump over to section 7, verse 1, Oliver Cowdery and Joseph Smith are inquiring of the Lord whether John, the beloved disciple, is tarrying in the flesh. And so I love in this first verse where he says, "And the Lord said unto me, John, my beloved, what desirest thou?" And I thought, there's that word again, that desire. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's such a fundamental principle of how the Lord works in relationships. He cares about what we desire. And it made me think, first of all, do I care what the people in my life are desiring? And also, do I have desires that if I was asked by my spouse or God, what desirest thou, would I have an answer for them so that they could help me fulfill those desires? I kind of looked at it both ways, and it made me think back of a time in my life where I was making a list of things I really wanted to try or do. And I had put it on Facebook. For some reason, I was feeling especially confident and especially open that day. And I put it out there to the world. No privacy, people. No privacy filters, just to the world. And one of them was, I wanted to fly in, I think I said an F-35, and someone said, you can't fly in that. You have to fly in this type of plane, right? And they told me where to fly, and they told me what base to go to and how much it would cost me. I mean, these are people from all over the world telling me how to accomplish this desire that I have. And another thing that I had put on there was I wanted to rock climb, actually rock climb out on the face of a mountain, not in a rock climbing gym, although I hadn't done that either. I wanted to actually go for the real thing. And so some random guy I did not know, nor did I know anyone he knew, sends me a thing and says, I rock climb all the time. I'll totally take you. I love all these people who are so willing to help someone else's desires or dreams like come true, right? And I'm like, oh, that sounds great. Sure, I'll meet you there. So I meet him, this guy I do not know, with my single self, Alicia, up a canyon. I know, it's not something I advise.
This was years ago, guys.
When it was no safer than it is now. And I meet him and we rock climb, right? I climb, I have a harness, I have all the things. It seems fairly safe. And I can feel like the coldness of the rock, and I can see the sheer drop that I have before me. And I can feel just the exhilaration and the adrenaline of what I'm doing. And I'm like, now this is why this thing was on my list of desires. Like I really wanted to experience that. Haven't done it since. Don't think I have any desire to anymore. And then we came down. Is that called belaying? Anyway, I don't know, but I came down and it was fun and I left and I lived. But one of the things that this what desirest thou scripture reminds me of is if I had never put my desires out there, I never would have experienced any of those things. I wouldn't have experienced the rock climbing. I wouldn't have met someone new, although that was a little sketchy. And I would never have learned what type of plane I would have to look for if I want to be able to fly in a fighter jet with as a passenger. I would never have known what base to go to or how much the cost is, or it's just what to plan on if you're going to experience it. I never would have learned the things I learned, met the people I met, or experienced the things I did had I never put a desire out there. And it made me think, if that is what can happen when I put temporal, really kind of surface desires out there, what can happen when I put like really heartfelt desires, desires that lay up treasures, as the scriptures say, desires that lay up treasures in heaven. What about those desires? If I put those out there, what happens then? Sometimes we have desires like that. We have those desires that are laying treasures up in heaven. They are just so close to our heart. And we do take those to the Lord. And what happens when those take time? Because I think sometimes my flying in a fighter jet, that's going to take some time and some work, a lot of work, if I want to be able to do that. And some things happen quickly, right? Like my rock climbing experience, but the same things happen spiritually. I remember desiring to feel the love of the Lord and praying for that and asking for that, pleading for it one night, and then walking out to my kitchen, opening my fridge, and having an instant rush of just warmth and closeness. And it almost felt like I was being enveloped in the biggest, warmest, most peaceful, just comforting hug I had ever had. And I knew in that instant that God loved me, and I will never forget it. I have never forgotten it. It's the only experience I've had like that, where you just know, you know, and it happened within minutes of that prayer. And yet when I wanted to have a child and I prayed and prayed and pleaded and pleaded, and I was doing the work, and I was putting in all the efforts, and I was doing all the right things, and I could say, Heavenly Father, I'm trying and I'm working and I'm partnering with you, and I'm trying to do everything you're asking me to do. And
you have the strongest desire.
I have the strongest desire. My desire doesn't get any bigger. My why doesn't get any bigger, right? But I it's out of my control. Like everything I can do, I'm doing, and I'm including him. And in that moment, what happens then? Like where do I go in those moments where my desire is going to take some time? We've talked about desires in the past, and I think we can see that just the critical importance they are to God. I mean, he asks so many times in the scriptures, what desirest thou? Or we see him talking to people about their desires. Today, we're going to talk about a tool that you can use when you have a desire. How do you put that desire in motion on the path that will eventually either lead to the fulfilled desire or a change in your desire? How do you get in motion when you have it and you need to partner with the Lord and you just need to start walking with him? How does that happen? And that's what we're going to talk about today.
I ask myself that often. How do I go from wanting it all that I like, having the strongest desire, but then realizing either, you know, I mean, it could be a number of different feelings, but for me lately, it's been like, oh, I'm just so exhausted and emotionally like done. So how do I make it actually happen when I feel that way? You know? So I loved all your thoughts on that, Alicia, and I'll let you the examples of, well, rock climbing. We might need to talk about that later.
I know.
So if we jump back to verse 8, it says, desire of me, so it shall be unto you. And when we thought about this, it's really just asking the Lord or expressing your desire to the Lord. And when you do that, it'll be unto you, right? And if you desire, you shall be in the means of doing much good. In the two parts of this, we need to ask, share it with the Lord, express your desires, but also, and to family or whatever, but then also know that there might be some work involved with it, but that so much good comes from that. So much good comes from when we express our desires and we're willing to do what we can to get there. And I don't know, it's tricky with every situation. I have some stuff I feel like in my life when I desire, it just kind of falls into place. And other stuff where I feel like I'm working on it for years, like years, and I get sick of it. And I'm like, I'm done with this. I'm done. I have all the desire in my heart. It's like an ache to get to that. But then I've lost trust in myself to make it happen. Or I don't know. I don't even want to talk about it. I don't want to go there anymore because I'm just like burned out. Then I'll come across someone. I'll come across a situation or read something. And all of a sudden it's put just this right way where it rekindles that desire that I really would like or I'd really like to accomplish. And somehow all of a sudden it starts working out. And I just feel like there's lots of situations where sometimes it works out and sometimes it's just asking us for a little bit of patience. I just really believe that God cares so much about our desires and about what we really want to learn. I think most of the time it lines up to what He wants for us. I really believe that there is multiple paths to get there.
I feel like sometimes, just like with our physical, like temporal desires, like my desire to go fly in a fighter jet to, and I'm still not there yet. I have to find like, oh, well, that's the wrong kind of jet. Like you can't fly in the one you thought you could fly in. You need to fly in this one. That one doesn't even have a passenger seat. You need to fly in this one. And I think sometimes God is doing the same thing with us, right? He's saying, okay, what desirest thou? And we're like, this is what I desire. I desire to have a baby, or I desire to have this relationship, or I desire to understand this about the gospel. And He says, okay, so this might take a little time because the question you're asking or the desire you have, you need to understand something about it that you don't understand yet. And then that will help you get to
completely agree.
Fulfillment of your answer, right? Like you can't fly in that jet. It doesn't even work, you know? And He's trying to teach us that spiritually. And that takes a minute, right? It takes getting to the right opportunity to understand it, getting to the right information, Him sending the right person into your life to help teach you something about the gospel you never, ever heard before, or can open up your heart to the Spirit in a way that you hadn't had an opportunity for that before. I mean, it just takes connections and time for Him to help us see those things. And then He's saying, okay, now that you know what you need to fly in spiritually, now this is how much it's going to cost you to do that. And we're like, ooh, wow. Okay. You mean I have to go through these hardships to get that? Wowzer, that's going to take me some time. Maybe I don't desire that so much, you know, and then we get a little hesitant or we, you know, and I think we go through the same types of things spiritually when we have desires that we do for those temporal things. And it's been a good example for me to kind of look back on that desire that hasn't been fulfilled yet temporally and see that my spiritual desires follow a lot of those same paths.
Sometimes when our desires are pure, so good, full of like the best possible situation, make us such a better person, right? Sometimes our desires aren't coming right, or it's hard, or it's very difficult to get those desires. There's so much we learn in the moments of that. And even with Oliver Cowdery, in these sections, he wanted to translate. He wanted to do what Joseph was doing. And so he did, he tried it. And then in section 9 or 10, that is taken back from him. Even though he has a desire to be a translator, the Lord's like, I'm asking you to be a scribe. In this, he says, you know, he teaches him, I think it's like verses 3 through 14, to be patient, just to continue to keep moving, to not murmur, to stand fast in the work and remember like what you have been called to do. And taking joy in that. Sometimes we are asked to trust Him with what we are called to do. And that is hard to swallow sometimes.
One of the things that I think is interesting for me is like we always hear like, oh, just have a desire and be patient.
Yeah.
Be patient, thanks. Have faith. Those two things. Be patient and have faith. Believe, you know, the common things we hear. And when you've been patient and you feel like you've had faith, but now you're wondering, was it just not enough?
I've
you're
fallen
like,
apart at this point.
You're starting to doubt. I think doubt that your faith is enough.
Yeah.
I think sometimes that can be really frustrating and hard to hear the same things over and over and over again. It's like someone when you're sick and pregnant telling you to eat saltines and you're like, do you really think you're the first one to tell me that? Right?
Yeah,
like
of course.
Soda crackers and saltines.
I Googled it on the way
yep,
over.
Yep. And ginger suckers, you know, so you're like, I think I've heard it like 45 billion times. And we see, I think sometimes I feel that way about the whole patience and just have faith. And I love the scripture in DNC, section 9, verse 3, because he says, be patient, my son, for it is wisdom in me. And he says, be patient, which at first I'm like, oh, really? Come
Thank
on.
You.
But what I love is when he says, it is wisdom in me. And the reason why I love that he says that is because I think, what does God get that I don't get? Because when I hear the word wisdom, then I have something to do. I'm just not trying to like sit in patience. I don't do that very well. So I'm like, okay, how is this taking me closer to God? Because that is making me wiser. That is what wise is. It's keeping me closer to the things that are godly, are good. So how is this doing that? And am I allowing it to do that? Because sometimes I'm turning off those moments of wisdom because I'm frustrated or angry instead of looking at how in the world could this be taking me closer to God and closer to good. I don't do that every time.
No.
But it's a good reminder. The wise thing is easier for me to work with than patience and faith.
Well, so that leads me to one of my desires, and it is to be a morning person. I've always wanted to be a morning person. Someone who just like jumps out of bed and stretches their arms as the birds are chirping. And I'm like, and just to get up like, you know, before my 2-year-old anyway, and just like be happy in the morning and just get going with their day and be productive. And because I keep hearing this saying, and this is what led me to even saying any of this, was when we talked about having wisdom, it says, the saying goes, early to bed, early to rise makes men healthy, wealthy, and wise. Okay, those are basically all of my desires. Healthy, well, everyone wants to be wealthy. But wealthy with what, right? I mean, not just like financial, but wealthy in a lot of things. Healthy, definitely. And wise. I could have all those things if I was a morning person.
That brings me to, and you're not going to like this.
Oh, shoot.
Like we always look at people who get up in the morning and we think, oh,
the birds
like they
are
have it so easy. They like, they're just morning people. They just get up.
I know.
And
I don't really know if it's real.
Yeah. And someone said to me once, do you think that's easy for them? Like these people who get up at 5 a.m. and they're really disciplined and they work out in the morning before they go to work and they do all of these things and they read and they journal and you know, all the
I know it's my
things.
Dream morning.
And they said that is not easy for them.
Yeah.
They just want it more. Then they want sleep.
Oh, well, that's my problem.
And I was like, and it's just work. And it's not just the want. They want it enough to work. And that reminds me of the scripture in DNC section 6, verses 3 and 4, where he says, behold, the field is white, all ready to harvest. Therefore, who desireth to reap, let him thrust in his sickle with his might and reap while the day lasts, that he may treasure up for his soul everlasting salvation in the kingdom of God. Yea, whosoever will thrust in his sickle and reap, the same is called of God. And I think the thing that stands out to me the most in these two scriptures is that whoso desireth to reap, let him thrust in his sickle. So let him do the work. And whosoever will thrust in his sickle and reap, the same is called of God. So again, going back to that desire. And if you desire and you're willing to work, if you're willing to put that desire in motion with God, no matter how long the journey, you are called to the work and he will fulfill that desire or you'll have a change in desire. I really believe that.
Yeah. No, it gives me a lot of self-reflection. Well, because that goes with anything, right? I think half the time we hold ourselves back from doing lots of things because, I mean, if I really thought about it, have I really like thrust in a ton of effort to get up the time where I'm like, I'm just going to get up at this time. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it. And that, man, that alarm hits. I'm like, never mind. Yeah, I really choose sleep. A lot of it just has that, am I willing to put in the work for it? I don't think I've really asked myself that question to really do it. So
when we began, we started with the question, how do we get from having a desire to having a desire fulfilled? And what do we do in the time in between?
So the tool we want to leave with you is to help answer this question that Alicia just asked, is once you have your desire, tell someone about your desire and then look for ways to ask for help with that desire. Just really believe there's power when we express our desires, just like Alicia talked about right at the very beginning when she made this list and shared it with people. My favorite scripture in Proverbs where it says that basically that Heavenly Father loves us so much that he puts people in our lives for our benefit. And I just believe this is one of those times when we express our desires, it allows for these people that he's put in our lives at the right time in the right place to help us achieve those desires.
There's people like to feel like they're helping other people. Yeah. It is just true. And I think another side of this tool is look for opportunities to help other people fulfill or find components to fulfill their desire.
Be that person. I wonder if more times than not, if you're searching for someone's desire to help, you'll probably find a desire of your own being reached.
I agree.
Because I just said I wanted to be a morning person. And now my husband just expressed that he wants to get up earlier to study. And I'm like, well, look at that.
Maybe we should both get up.
Maybe we should. Honey, if you're listening, no guarantees. Just kidding. Right? The biggest thing we want you to take away is, you know, when you know your desire, tell someone about it. Mm-hmm. Tell God, tell a family member, friend, whatever you need to help make the best success for you to finding your, to reaching that desire that you have. And then also listen for when other people are telling you theirs. Thanks for listening to us. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
See you next week.
Hi guys. Thanks for listening. You really don't know how much it means to us to have people on the other end of us talking. And so there's been a few people who've reached out. We really appreciate George for sending us a message expressing how he thinks we're doing a good job. And also we had a cute little 12-year-old girl say that she just loved our podcast. And that made us feel so happy. So little Katie, thank you for listening.
And we just want to thank all of you for being with us. And you can find us on social media at Simple Joyful Home. We're on Instagram, Facebook. And one of the best ways that you can really kind of remember what you're learning and put it into practice is come on over, make a comment, tell us what you learned. When you talk about what you learn, it sticks with you longer. So we can't wait to see you over there at Simple Joyful Home on Instagram, Facebook. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye. So let's put a little context here. All three, four sections, six, seven, eight, nine. I just counted on my fingers. Heaven help us. Nope. Anyway, but these four sections.
You're still doing nothing to your fingers. Okay.
Four sections. Okay. Anyway.
That's what I do every time.
Maybe I should say a number.
No. Okay. Go ahead.
I'll just say